Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
But it is, what is it? Shit, Thursday, March 3rd. And I knew it was March 3rd. I couldn't remember what day it was. You know, my days bleed together. But welcome to Menace in the Morning. I'm Zach Smith, your host, with my co-host, Chris Drew. Want to give a happy birthday shout out to two of the GOATs that I ever coached, Devin Smith and Michael Thomas. It's both of their birthdays today.
Wow.
It is also, I found out today, Santonio Holmes' birthday. So you talk about three icons in the receiver room. Mm-hmm. And it is also my ex-wife's birthday. So
Sing a song.
Take a trip around memory lane. But happy birthday to Devin, Mike, and Santonio. And that's where the list ends.
What's your favorite Michael Thomas moment?
My favorite Michael Thomas moment ever?
Yeah. In practice or in game for the people? I'll put you on the spot. I know what mine is.
My favorite Michael Thomas moment. I mean, I don't know. You'd have to really qualify that or clarify that.
Okay.
I don't know. In a game,
whatever you want. Just when someone says your favorite, man.
Yeah, but I mean, I know. I'm extremely close with Mike. So like my favorite moment with Mike is not like some play he made in a game is my point. So we'll say the slant against Michigan State, because that's what you're looking for.
That's not, I was looking for the catch of the trick play, Evan Spencer to Mike Thomas.
Yeah. I mean, I love that, but the slant against Michigan State, that's what it is.
When he was running like a fat kid.
Yeah, absolutely.
That one.
Head back, fat kid running.
Yeah. Fat. Holy. good morning, gang. You tweeted today. You feel like you have a lot to say today.
I don't know why I got away from this energy when I started the show, but when I started the show, I had a Twitter tough guy segment. It was kind of just my way to just call out the hypocrisy of these fucking clowns on Twitter. And I'm bringing it back. But it's not going to be an every week theme, every day theme. It's going to be whatever I want. And I'm going to call it This Bitch Thursday. Like this bitch right here. And it's because a couple people just pissed me off. One this morning, one last night. Just the hypocrisy and the fucking cowardice that is out in this world. So I put out this, coming off the heels of this Brenda Tracy stuff, which, by the way, the GoFundMe is up. If you go to Menace to Sports on Twitter, it's the pinned tweet. I think I created it late last night. We already have $250 donated. So I'm not even telling you to donate, because this is more, all the money that gets donated is going to get, when we've completed or whatever, the end game. If Brenda Tracy comes on that minute, $10,000 or, whatever the balance is.
Yeah. We'll do it live on the show.
We'll donate it to the domestic violence charity. So that is going to happen. But I'm not trying to put pressure. I'm not sitting here like fighting for a fundraiser. I'm trying to do this to prove a point and to raise some money for a serious issue. The point is Brenda Tracy is a fucking fraud. She's a complete fraud and she won't come on the show. That could get up to $1 million. She will not come on the show unless that $1 million is going in her pocket. 0% chance. It has nothing to do with me. Has nothing to do with, giving my platform attention. My platform has more attention than any platform. She did a podcast right now. She would not touch these numbers.
So I only know who Brenda Tracy is. I only know who Brenda Tracy is because she keeps coming after you. That's all I know her for. That's all.
Right. And that, and she got gang raped by football players. Allegedly. That's the key word there. Allegedly.
Holy. I'm avoiding that one. Holy.
Yeah, bro. You know, sometimes girls get drunk and do things they shouldn't do, and then they call it gang rape. It happens.
It's big Zach Smith in this bitch. Holy.
Well, I'm not saying that's what happened to her, but that happens a lot, right? False. I was a part of it. And that's why I get so fucking pissed. I watched a kid, Torrance Gibson, who did not sexually harass, sexually assault, sexually do anything to anyone. He had a girl who was a predator on him that then when he shut her down after they'd hooked up a couple times, she cried rape. And he got his whole career ruined because of it, because of fucking dumbasses like Brenda Tracy and these other narrative warriors. I watched a kid's life and career get ruined.
Change, yeah.
So you can miss me with all that bullshit. It's This Bitch Thursday. And Brendan Tracy's one of them. But the next one is this guy, Thomas Meyer, lives right here in Powell, Ohio. I wish I could catch this motherfucker out in public because, like always, he popped off. I responded because I ain't no bitch. I'm going to come right back at you and hit you with facts. Mm-hmm. And he deleted his tweets, blocked me, disappeared. So I want to know who Thomas Meyer is. I've already got his where he works, everything else. But this man wants to come at me. And I put out this Zone 6 stuff, right? And then a kid I train, a high school kid, tweeted a video out of him working with me, who this guy apparently knows, right? Mm-hmm. And he has the audacity to tweet at me, I can't believe someone would allow a coach that was sleeping with a secretary train their children. And I was like, time out, bro. Cause I know who accused me of that. Right. That only came out in this investigation. And it was only because there was this woman, I mean, not attractive at all, not even remotely attractive.
Oh, Lee.
Who worked at Ohio State, who was kind of, let's say, loose, and none of the coaches slept with her. She was not attractive, but she was very like overtly, grossly flirtatious and sexual. And so whatever, she was married, and her and her husband had multiple problems. I mean, they were both big druggies, really into heavy drugs like cocaine and all kinds of stuff. Well, they had a bunch of problems. Well, apparently he started accusing her of cheating on him with all these different coaches, and not only coaches, like one high school coach who I'm not going to name, me, Ryan Stamper, like other coaches on staff, just accused her of doing that. And one day we're about to work football camp. She comes in and she is fucked up. I'm talking both black eyes, swollen lip, like what the fuck? And looking back on it, I should have said something, but I assume someone did, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know what route they went, but you want to talk about a domestic violence cover up. There's one. That's a real one. So then anyways, long story short, they end up reassigning her out of the football office because they reassigned her like basketball or somewhere else. I'm making a long story medium, not short.
It's medium.
So anyways, apparently this guy, when I get fired, he's going off about, he used to sleep with secretaries, blah, blah, blah. And so my ex-wife connected with him. How convenient, right? She's really a domestic violence survivor and an advocate. When she got with, not physically, but she linked up with this secretary's husband who beat the shit out of the secretary. They got together and went to Ohio State during this investigation and said, I slept with his wife, the secretary. So they worked together. Her and a domestic abuser worked together to go to Ohio State and say this. So long story short, I said, who? When he said it, when the guy tweeted that, I tweeted back at him and I said, who, Shannon? I said, don't get me started. Who told you that? Her druggy ex-husband? Yeah, ask about the time he beat the shit out of her and she had to get reassigned at Ohio State. Like, I just attacked it with truth. Mm-hmm. And this guy wants to try to air me out on Twitter. No, bro.
Yeah, so here's a message. Out
on Thomas Meyer, Powell, Ohio.
Come correct or don't come at all. You better come correct or don't come at all. And I'm sick because it derailed like a little situation because I'm ready to come up there and bust your boy Jameson up. Man, you retweeted someone clowning me on Twitter. I'm just playing. It's all love. I don't mess with receivers.
He's a dog now. You ain't.
Nah, bro. Look, this is my message. I do not mess with receivers named Jameson. I'm not doing
that's
it.
That's a fact.
I will not do it. I'll drink Jameson.
With liquid named Jameson.
Yeah. I'll drink it, but I won't try it. I won't try him straight up.
Chris, I got this next guy comes at me this morning. Scott Farrell from North Canton, Ohio. I don't understand why you follow me if you're this big of a bitch.
That's Scott why. Farrell from North Canton, Ohio. He's close to me. I'll pull up on him.
This guy comes out because I retweeted Ron DeSantis and I could go off on a political rant, but I'm not going to because I'm trying to stick to non-political things. But he was like, oh, I retweeted the Ron DeSantis video where he told the USF or the students, they don't have to wear their masks. They can take it off, that it's ridiculous. It's just theatrics. He told the truth. And that's the problem, right? Sometimes it's hard, and it is what it is. It's extreme. Most of the time against me, it's extreme liberals, but it's extreme conservatives too. It's just the extremists, right? It's the outside 30% on the left and right. But he said that, of course, a bully is supporting a bully. Why don't I choke my ex-wife again or something like that? And I was like, you don't know what you're talking about. He said evidence. So I said, find me one piece of truth that backs that up. One, just one. Right.
Some. And he said, give me some.
And here's exactly what he said. Evidence and police reports and in your firing and your ex-wife's restraining order against you say differently. guessing you hoped it would all just go away. Your past will always be there. Here's the problem with that. Let's just go through that. Every single thing he listed, and this is the problem with all the arguments against me. Every single thing you could ever list, ever, mm-hmm. ever, any piece of evidence ever that has ever existed that I've ever abused anyone is one person's words. One.
Yeah.
No one else. No one else. You can go to even interviews of people in her family that were reporting what I had done to her. But guess what? They weren't there. They were reporting things she told them, mm-hmm. right? Just like her entire extended family doesn't talk to her anymore because they found out the truth. So evidence, that's not evidence. I said, show me the evidence. He said, evidence. And mm-hmm. police, well, you can't start with evidence. You got to show me the evidence, right? Scott, you stupid fucking idiot. Police reports. No, you can't. A police report of what she told police. You mm-hmm. can't find any police reports of any investigation or any arrests. My firing was because she created a media shitstorm based on her words. My ex-wife's restraining order. Again, she went and got a temporary restraining order because based on her words, like, and it never went to trial. It never went to court. So like, no, you can't find evidence, Scott, you stupid fucking cunt. Come at me and come with evidence or don't come at me. I'm on one now. I'm done listening to this shit. I've been silent and let it go fucking way too long.
The truth does not expire.
You better come with some fucking facts because I got facts. I got the truth on my side and that's just the reality of it. So I wanted to bring all that up because what is that? What Scott is doing is virtue signaling, right? Mm-hmm. He wants to support victims and he wants to you know, come at the abusive bad guy. And it's like, you don't have any facts. You don't have any reality behind that. But you're doing it publicly on Twitter to virtue signal, right? Just like the child support bullshit. Just like the latest one is 529 plans. Like, what the fuck? It's just hilarious. But even you, I don't know if you saw this, what's going on with Russia and Ukraine. And I want to kind of get off this rant here, but I do want to mention this. How delusional this world is, because now we're canceling. I saw one bar is not going to serve Stoli vodka. Chris, have you heard of Stoli vodka?
No, I'm new to the drinking game.
Okay, well it's a pretty popular vodka that comes in all kinds of flavors. Really,
I know a Svedka.
Well, here's the problem, right? Stoli vodka is made in I think Latvia or it's not even made in Russia. It's not a Russian brand. But because it sounds Russian, they're going to cancel it, right? And this one I read, this is hilarious. The biggest university in Italy is the University of Milan, right? It just banned teaching, I'm going to screw this name up, Fyodor Dostoevsky, because he's a Russian writer, right? They banned him from their teachings, right? Here, let me tell you about Dostoevsky. He was sent to a Siberian labor camp for reading banned books in Russia. I mean, you're talking about he is anti-Russia and they canceled him because the level of fucking incompetence and unintelligence in virtue signaling is disgusting. Mm-hmm. It really is. They canceled a Russian writer because Russia invaded Ukraine, but the Russian writer went to a labor camp for bucking the system that Russia has in place. Like he was the anti-Russia and mm-hmm. they canceled him. One of the finest universities in Europe.
Holy.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
That's so fucked.
it's just funny as shit to me. Just like these idiots that come after me on Twitter. Like, you guys are hilarious. Mm-hmm. Like, it is so funny because you just show how truly dumb you are. And it's like, go ahead, man. Go ahead, queen. Go off. Yes, queen. Go off. Like, you look like a fucking idiot. And it's awesome. It's hilarious. God, okay, I'm sorry, Chris. This is only my first coffee, I promise. This
big Zach Smith and this bitch. Address him or don't address him at all, the right way. So the moral of that is the truth never expires. And think with your head. And no, that's right. I mean, the comments are jumping right now. let me get to the fucking show, dude. Holy.
My bad. What was that? Like a nice 13-minute rant? We might have a long show on our hands here today.
Yeah, something like that. Drake London. He said he emulates Calvin Johnson and some other freaks of nature. And he's not gonna test at the combine. I take some serious issue sometimes with guys. It's like you never want Calvin Johnson to me is the most talented receiver to ever live.
It's hard to argue that.
Doesn't get more talented than that. And he's statistically an anomaly. He's a freak of nature. He's a genetic accident. And so for Drake London to say, I emulate Calvin Johnson and then not test, feels a little sideways to me. Break this down for a sec.
Yeah. So here was my thing when I saw it and read about it. So one, I've started studying Drake London. I'm not prepared to talk on him as a player yet. As we get closer to the draft, more later March, I think we're going to do some draft, you know, topics. Actually, yeah, do a show. Mm-hmm. We'll definitely hit it on the morning show. Do a main show breaking down the different positions. But I will say this. That's awesome to idolize Calvin Johnson. You're not Calvin Johnson, but whatever. Who cares, right? It's a great player you can model your game after. But the fact that he won't test is problematic for two reasons, right? Well, not two reasons. There's two possible scenarios here, and I'll give you the most likely, right? The one scenario is he's not fully healthy yet. He's self-reported 85% healthy, which in my opinion is, if that's true, that means you're really probably 90% at worst, and you definitely could go test at the combine, and you're honestly just, you're nervous and scared. That's one scenario, right? The other scenario is most likely. It happens all the time, right? These guys go to these places, Exos out in San Diego or South Florida or Phoenix, right? They go to these training facilities, these combine training facilities, and as they're down there, you know, it's all training for the combine. They do very minimal position stuff. I mean, they do some, but not much at all. So they're training for the combine. As they do it and the combine gets closer, I mean, they're training. It's not like they go to the combine and run the 40 and they're like, what did I run? Like, they know what they're going to run because they've been training it and been timing it and testing it. And what happens is, if that number doesn't look good and the combine's coming up, you got a problem, right? And if you're Drake London, that number really matters because you already don't get separation. You don't get open. If you go pop a 4.7, bye. Yeah. You're going to be in the third round before you know it, right? And so what they do is, and what these trainers do, what the players do and the agents do, is if it's not there yet, if it's not looking great, they will, I don't want to say create an injury, but yeah, fuck it, they will. They'll lie. They'll create an injury. Like, oh, you know, I have it pulled my hamstring. It's only 85%. I'm going to work out at my pro day. What that means is I want a more comfortable environment to run, to do my testing. I need more time to train for it because I'm not going to give you the number that is going to get me where I want to get, or I'm just too slow and I don't know what to do. I'm kind of panicking.
And that's, I want to cater to me. Means. Yeah. And they want to cater to themselves because the combine, they have so many people to run through that there's that waiting period that all the athletes talk about. Like, they have to sit there and wait and kind of go through things on their own. At pro days, especially USC's pro day, USC is going to do everything they can to make sure Drake London is taken care of. Like, it's going to be not about only
that,
Drake Chris, London.
Not only that, but the combine is the ultimate. This is why the combine, I mean, some people just explode. Some people completely fall off because the combine is a psychological experiment, right?
It's for alphas.
Mm-hmm. Well, and not only is it for alphas on the field for the players, but I mean, it's a societal psychological experiment where it's the ultimate petri dish of groupthink, right? Mm. Where you get 150 scouts all together watching a combine, a kid pops a time and they start talking about it, and then it just grows, and all of a sudden the whole group is like, holy shit, John Ross is a fucking first no rounder. Brainer top five pick. And you're like, on the outside, you're like, huh?
Said John Ross? Like, could you ball John Ross?
The top five, what?
Hands pumps.
But one guy thinks he's top 10. Then the next guy, you know, has a couple drinks. He's like, top 10. Shit, I think he's top five. And then it's just groupthink, and it just grows. It happens with the good and the bad. If that kid goes and runs a 4.68, this man, that groupthink and that chatter is just going to just plummet his stock. You don't have that as much at pro days. Now, you're going to have a smaller, I guess, version of it. You know, the people go to pro days, but it's not going to be every scout and every GM and every head coach and every assistant coach in the NFL all in one building. It's not.
And the combine, all the media people. There's so many media people as well that contribute to this group.
You know, and then the leeches come out like Ian Rappaport. Like, my sources are telling me that that Drake London, his draft stock is falling because he does not run well. And you're like, no shit, Rappaport. We just fucking watched him run a 4.7. Thank you for the update. Really good news.
I want to ask you, Zach, what should he run? He's going to weigh in at six. He's going to measure it at 6'5", 6'4.5", 210 is kind of where he's at. Calvin Johnson was 6'5", 240 when he ran, and he ran in the threes, I believe. Yeah, what should Drake Yeah, that's crazy, which is absolutely insane. Nice. What should Drake London run comfortably? What range?
I mean, he's got to run 4.5. He's got to run, and even if it's a high 4.5. I mean, you can say he's a big body 4.5 receiver, and he'll provide some value. I don't see a first round grade on him. I don't, unless if he
doesn't run good enough routes. He does not run good enough routes for me.
But you know, I've talked about it. The NFL is all about, you know, well, they're elitist, right? They know better. Mm-hmm.
There's so much faith in NFL rooms of like, oh, this guy with this much size is this big, I can turn him into something, as opposed to this guy's finished, he's polished, and he, you know, let's take him.
Exactly. They think they're better than everyone, so the route running stuff, they won't care about it, really. Mm. They will care about the physical tools he has, and if he does run 4.4 or better, he'll be a first-round receiver, even though he probably won't ever have the career of a first-round receiver. Like, I think that will be a reach, but if he runs 4.5 or better, I think he'll be happy, right? If he runs in the 4.6 or above, he's got a problem on his hands. And what I have seen on what the film that I've watched is will be validated. It's just he doesn't have the speed or the acceleration to get separation in the NFL. He's got to rely on ball skills and contested catches, which is not what you want to rely on all the time, right? Michael Thomas is a great example. He has great acceleration. His top end speed's just okay. And so he creates separation in routes, but also on contested catches, he can show you his ball skills and contested catch ability. But he doesn't rely on that every time, right? He gets open, and you got to get open sometimes.
No, I agree. I think that for Drake London especially, I think he needs to run faster than his former USC teammate, Michael Pittman. And Michael Pittman ran in the 4.5s. But I think that Michael Pittman was a better route runner and had really good ball skills and has played, you know, pretty well. But also, Michael Pittman's smaller, so that's where I'm at with Drake London. I don't have him as wide receiver 1 or 2. I think he's going to weigh in. I think 210 at 6'5" is a little bit light, but I could be wrong on that. So I am curious to see that. Did you see the crowd around Chris Olave for his for the combine interview yesterday? That was really cool to see, man. I have the feeling that they're gonna fall in love with him, because when you watch Chris Olave, he's one of the more unique wide receiver kind of talents out there to me. Not that he's uber talented in terms of like head and shoulders above everybody else, but the way he plays the game, it feels like the game is moving slower for him than it is for everybody else. Like, it feels like he's clear head and he's able to really exploit he's super smooth.
Here's what you have, right? You have an unbelievably talented player. Like, his speed, his hips, his feet. He's unbelievably talented. His ball skills are you know, the one part of his game that I think could really use work. Not that I'm not even going to call it a weakness, because he has good ball skills. Right. Like, he tracks a deep ball really well, but I think he could do some things training wise to enhance his ball skills, I guess is my point. But not only do you have all of that, but this is, and I'm not shitting you, this is a phenomenal kid. Like, personality and character, A1A. Character, A1A. Personality, like, great kid, funny as shit, fun to be around, like, not a partier, but not a lame bitch.
Ass.
Like, has fun, but he's responsible. Unbelievable family. Probably easily top five and not number five family I've ever been a part of. His mom, his dad, his brothers, like, just fucking awesome people. He's smart as shit. He's very smart. He's football smart. Like, just the complete package. Like, when they do the Wonder Dick test or whatever the fuck it is, where they the measure your penis and see how, like, whatever that stupid
measure
shit
your
is,
penis
like,
and oh, see how big your brain is.
Yeah, like, if he has a big dick, he's good at football. Like, I don't know, whatever the fuck they train in there. Or when they start asking you, like, if your sister was a crack whore, would you let the GM have sex with her? It's like, what? Why are you asking these weirdo questions?
It was like in Atlanta, did the one interview where they asked the one guy if a guy came up to a party and, you know, was looking to swing both ways, would you? And I was like, man, what?
Like, what the hell is wrong with people? But they do that, and we could talk about that too. Which I don't have a ton of inside knowledge. I've obviously never went through the combine experience, but I have plenty of players who did. But yeah, he's going to check all the boxes. Like, he is the complete package. Like, is Jameson Williams a better deep threat? You could make that argument, right? I think Jameson Williams, obviously now with some injury concerns, but you know, I think he definitely might be better than Chris in that one aspect.
Who's better after the catch, Chris Olave or Jameson Williams?
Jameson, but to be fair, And that's based on resume. And I think Jameson had more opportunities to do so. Like Ohio State, for whatever reason, their offense didn't have a lot of catch and run opportunities. Yeah. I mean, Chris had a couple that I thought were really good, but Jameson, it was slants, crib. He did a lot. Jameson did a lot.
There were a couple slants he did house those, but a couple times like Chris Olave, if he catches the ball in the middle of the field, you just felt like he was going to score. His ability to gear down, then gear back up, and avoid guys and make it look so easy. Yeah. He's a really unique talent. He has that skill set. And then kind of additionally, the person who Chris is, I feel like he's going to be successful for the same reason that I thought a guy like Terry McLaurin was going to be successful, because the stuff above the shoulder pads were just there and you just check every box. And it was really cool seeing the full crowd there to talk to Chris Olave, who was going to ace everything. So
for sure. We got a nice chat going on in the comments. I just wanted to put it up here. We don't even have to talk about it, but Lynn's Breezy over here, I'm with you. You don't see these females lying on athletes everywhere, just grimy. Females who lie about stuff like that should have to serve the same sentence the man would. Amen. Not to get back on that topic, but the comments and conversation going on YouTube. If you aren't on there, if you are on there, go ahead and hit the like button. This video, keep commenting, try to make this thing blow up. Let's get this video going. God knows my rant could go viral. But that's not the point of the show. Every now and then it is, though.
Did you ever have to time guys in the Woody, like when they were getting ready for the Pro Day 40, Zach, or did you kind of avoid the timing? That was more of a GA thing.
Well, no, I mean, Mickey Marotti did all the timing when it comes to workouts. And when it comes to combine pro days, I mean, we're completely uninvolved. I mean, I would be there.
Uninvolved completely. Like, you didn't help train anybody or anything?
No. For the pro day?
Wow. Yeah, pro day, just if it was back at the Woody.
No. I mean, I would help him. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I told the story. I designed Cardale Jones's pro day just because he had George Whitfield, who's a fucking complete clown, and Tim Beck, who had no idea what he was doing either.
Yeah.
And so Cardale came to me and was like, hey, can you get with this guy and kind of go through and figure out what to do? And so I did that. So, I mean, you'd help if they asked, and you'd watch, and you'd go out and give them a tip or two. But, you know, they've been training at these training facilities for the 40 and everything else that they're not looking for that. You know what I mean? And they're really there just to run. And then the couple position drills, the receiver drills are stupid. There's not even really receiver drills at Pro Day. It's just routes with whatever quarterback. Like you watch Justin Fields with the three receivers that are coming out this year. And this year it'll be, I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if CJ will throw to them. I don't know.
They should have CJ throw to them. They should.
You would hope so. Mm-hmm. So they can have a good day. But
I mean, the same way that like Jameson Williams, Chris Olave, and Garrett Wilson all ran for Justin Fields when he was throwing, you'd want that kind of comfort and familiarity. And CJ throws a really good ball. Like CJ is perfectly built for indoor 7-on-7 throwing that thing around.
Yeah, as long as he thinks he's going to do well. Because if CJ goes out and doesn't really throw great, that could hurt him in the long run. But yeah, I'm sure you're right. He's kind of built for that. I mean, no rush, no pressure. Just throw pretty balls and hit people in the face. That's it.
I mean, he was the Elite 11 MVP, and that's kind of, I mean, that style. Bryce Young was there. A lot of guys were there, and it was kind of, he got voted to start above Bryce Young because he was perfect in that setting. Like some quarterbacks out west only train in that 7-on-7 setting, which is that indoor, and he was throwing that thing. In fact, I think he broke Tua Tagovailoa's record for their pro day that they do in high school, and then additionally went on to win the MVP because he's literally built for that kind of thing.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I would hope that they had him throw. I mean, if that moment's too big for him, that would make me question C.J. Stroud. Like, if the 7-on-7 moment indoors throwing against air is too big.
No doubt. I'm sure he will. I'm sure that'll be what happens.
I did drop, I dropped a thing more for the mailbox Friday, but I did want to get a couple of those questions in today, Zach.
Yeah.
One that really caught my eye was someone asked, are there any college football unwritten rules that you kind of got to apply by? Because I know in baseball, it's like, hit for a hit, don't steal when you're up X amount, like that kind of thing. Is there anything unwritten rule-wise that's considered bush league in college football, or is it kind of anything's fair game because it's a real man sport?
No, I mean, when it comes to the game, there's so many written rules. There's no room for unwritten rules. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's the most overrule-regulated game sport in the world. So there's nothing in the game. I mean, in the industry there is. Like, you know, if you – you go on the road recruiting and coaches bump kids. They call it bump kids. That's where you like, you run into a kid and it's like accidentally run into the five star that's at this high school. And you talk to him for 5 minutes and then keep it moving, right?
Like when did you get here?
Yeah. Like that technically is illegal. But if you turn someone in on some petty shit like that, like Ed Warner turned in, I think I told that story. Ed Warner's recruiting Curtis Samuel. Brian White, who's a good friend of mine, is at Florida at the time. He's up recruiting Curtis Samuel. Well, he bumps into Curtis Samuel. He's talking to him for 5-10 minutes, leaves. Ed Warner snitches on him, turns him in. I'm talking about like on nothing, like wasn't doing much. I mean, yeah, it was illegal, but everyone does it. And it's not like if you are snitching on someone for doing that, you're such a bad recruiter that you're trying to eliminate them. That like that's how you're going to get the kid, right? Mm-hmm. But Ed Warner just knew that Urban wanted Curtis so bad. And if Curtis didn't, and Ed Warner didn't recruit Curtis Samuel, it's my favorite part of the story. Stan Drayton did, but it was Ed's area. So he felt like, oh, I got to, oh, it's my guy. And so he snitched on Brian White with compliance, turned him in without telling Urban. Now, mind you, Brian White worked for Urban is a long time. I mean, decades, mm-hmm. one of his good friends. And Florida was Urban's old employer. And so it comes across Florida's desk like we got turned in by Ohio State for this. Brian White got pulled off the road, right? They investigated it. He wasn't allowed to go out recruiting. It's like that's an unwritten rule.
Yeah,
like that's why no one in coaching respects or likes Ed Warner. Not one person. Whoever you think is friends with or likes him does not. I've never met a guy. I've not met one guy that is like Ed Warner's my guy. Not fucking one. I'm dead serious. Not one. Every other person that I think I've ever coached with, there's somebody that I met where it's like, you know,
oh yeah, that's my boy.
Oh, I mean, that's my guy. Like we were in Nebraska together or whatever. But Ed Warner, never met him. Never met one person that's like, Ed, that's my guy.
Holy, that's not it. That's not it.
No.
That's some lame shit, dude. Like for real.
Yeah, it really is. But so when you talk about unwritten rules, like that's an unwritten rule, but it's not, right? That shouldn't be it's not just an unwritten rule in football. Like that's an unwritten rule in life. Like, don't be a bitch. Don't snitch on somebody for something little. Like if you see him commit a murder, yes, that's not snitching anymore. That's like you have to do that.
Yeah, but because like, someone lost a life.
some little shit like I don't even want to go with an example here, but stupid that doesn't hurt anyone.
Yeah.
Like that's not your fucking business. Mind your business.
Like if someone was going 25 through a school zone, you know, call the police. They just went past me.
Right. But then see, I wouldn't even go there because then they're talking about like what if you hit a kid and killed a kid? Like I'm out. I'll get canceled for whatever I say in that department.
All right, bro. Let me switch up, bro. You got me nervous. As a recruiter, how did you balance going after projects versus guys that you know could play?
You know, I didn't have a formula. Obviously,
you didn't take that many projects, though.
No, I mean, I really didn't. I mean, some guys that weren't projects to fans were projects. I mean, like Trayvon Grimes was a big project. He was like number two receiver in the country, but he was a major project. So, you know,
as for you, I mean, that's more of an offensive line coach question, to be honest.
Well, no, I mean, Terry McLaurin was a project. Paris Campbell was a project. Jalen Marshall was a project. Very, very talented kids. But
yeah, those were all projects. Those were all highly rated kids. Well, outside of Terry.
Yeah, but you got to understand, what is a highly rated kid?
Like you're
a kid
that
ran a fast 40 time and Ohio State offered him? No shit. That doesn't mean, that's what I'm saying. You can't go by rankings. Trayvon Grimes was very talented, but he was so raw. He was so stiff. He needed to learn how to play receiver, needed to learn how to bend. Like so much needed to happen. That's why he's not in the NFL, because he never learned those things, because he left Ohio State and went and didn't get coached or developed. But the reality is like there's just because you're a 5-star, 4-star, whatever, that doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. Like, and I've said it, those recruiting services have gotten better, but they still don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Like they really don't. They have guys like, and I could bring them up forever, Steve Wilfong and all these fucking nerdy guys. Like they don't know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Like they see Trayvon Grimes and they're like, wow, this kid's a junior Olympian in the hurdles, like crazy speed. Like he can catch the ball. He's big, tall. He's a freshman and looks like a senior. Like they see all this stuff and they get their little tiny peckers get hard and they're like, oh man, he's gonna be really good.
It's like how scouts view the combine. It's kind of thing.
Similar. Mm-hmm. And it's like you sit there and you watch. Like then somebody who knows what they're talking about evaluates the film, works with the kid in camp, watches him in practice, then gets him on campus, and it's like, this kid has some unbelievable gifts, right? Mm-hmm. Unbelievable skills, but he's so raw. He needs grinded and developed for four years to get there. And sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But so I never really, you obviously don't want to take too many projects, but it was never about ratings or anything like that. Like I wanted guys that I thought could be great. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. Whether you call it a project, whether you call it a highly, you know, very, very talented kid. I mean, you look at that class of guys I just talked about. Johnny Dixon was the most polished high school kid in his class. And then, you know, you have guys like Terry and Paris that maybe weren't as polished. And I wanted all of them, right? You look at this draft, the last two classes, right? Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Jameson Williams. Jameson probably was the biggest project, but he maybe had the biggest, highest ceiling, right?
The deep speed was so rare. Like he was doing freaky things in high school, like hurdling safeties and opening, like just crazy shit.
Like the way I viewed it was this, Chris. I'm about to go to war, right? And mm-hmm. and I don't want to relate football to war. And if
especially
I got
right now,
right. Give the disclaimer again, I will, right? It's just the greatest form of team that you could ever have is Navy mm-hmm. SEALs in any kind of war. So that's why I always relate it to that, because it was like a model or a goal or a dream to have that high level of teamwork. But if I'm going into war against an opponent, right? I have an arsenal of weapons to deploy on them, right? I want versatile, dynamic weapons that can end my opponent. So that's what I went out looking for, right? Like, mm-hmm. what did that look like? It was different every year. I don't know. I saw Jameson Williams. I'm like, holy shit, this kid will be lethal at some things. Garrett Wilson, I'm like, holy shit, this kid will be lethal at some things. Chris Olave. So I'm looking for lethal weapons. I don't care if it's going to take me 2 years to develop you to make that lethal weapon a product we can put on the field. Yeah, like, I don't care what it is. I'm just looking for lethal weapons. That's what I was looking for on the road. And I've never thought about it or phrased it that way, but that's 100% what I was doing.
I like that.
Year in, year out, I went out on the road and I was telling myself, like, I want lethal weapons. Find me lethal weapons.
Let's equip it right. No, I definitely heard that. One of the draft prospects that we'll talk about at some point, George Pickens, is really interesting. That's a wide receiver from Georgia that had the torn ACL. So he didn't really play that much, but in moments where he played, obviously there's that viral clip of him playing in that Michigan kid on his ass. I think he's going to be a really good player at some point.
Yeah.
We'll see. And then I want to save this question for tomorrow, Zach. I want you to get a good look at it so you can think on it. I think this is a really good question about players.
Yeah.
Like a player that Urban Meyer said absolutely no to, but ended up being really good elsewhere. I'd love to hear about that. But Zach, I don't have anything else on the plate for today. Do you have anything else you want to get into?
No, that's good. That's good. We will get back to that question. I appreciate it. If you guys,
that's a really good one.
Drop in the mailbag. We mm-hmm. I didn't have a hometown hero today, but we could do one tomorrow. Okay. So we will postpone the hometown hero tomorrow. Give us a submission on that if you want, and we will call somebody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not going to be the Planet Fitness in Akron.
Yeah, bro. I'm still waiting to see Buddy, man. I haven't seen him yet. I got some words for him.
But so we do have our March Madness March Madness fundraisers mm-hmm. going on. If you want to be a part of the pool, we already have a handful of people that have signed up. All you got to do is Venmo $20 to Cameron Media. CAMERONMEDIA. Cameron Media. All one word, no spaces, no underscores. On Venmo, $20. Attach your email to in the comments when you do it. We will put you on the email list. We'll send you the invite. It's just so we can build it up, build the list. So when Selection Sunday comes and those brackets come out, boom, have at it.
Yep,
winner takes. So we're obviously going to split it with charity. Winner takes 80%, second place 20%, and then we're going to give some money back to some third and maybe for beyond place finishers. So go do that right now. $20, Cameron Media on Venmo. Let's play Menace Madness, baby. That's all I got, though, Chris. Menace out.
Menace out.